Hey everybody, it's Chico Alexander alongside our producer, panelist, and just a really good guy, Jason Block. Gordon Pepper, he will be in momentarily, but right now we're going to get started with a bit of sad news, actually. We had, over the last weekend, the passing of game show royalty in Monty Hall. Not just one of the best game shows, but honestly, one of the best people. And I don't think we could get anybody who would know what goes on in his mind other than one of the co-executive producers of Let's Make a Deal, airing on CBS every weekday. We have Chris Ahern on the program. How you doing, Chris?
I am great. How are you guys?
Actually, very sad. Actually, you know, here we love to interrupt when, you know, without, you know, telling tales out of school, we've always been a fan of the show, but we just want to know how did you guys get the news, and what's been the reaction over at CBS with this?
Yeah. So it's been a few days for us. Obviously, it's interesting how we tape this show, and you know, some viewers probably know how we tape it, some don't, but you know, we tape three episodes of Let's Make a Deal a day, and we, you know, tape it 4 days a week, so we're doing 12 shows, you know, a week of Let's Make a Deal. It was on Saturday. It was the last day of our taping block, so we tape in 3 week blocks. And about the second show, we got kind of an email in the middle of the show, letting us know that, you know, Monty had passed earlier that day. So it happened in the middle of one episode of our second episode of the day. So needless to say, from that point on, that episode, we all had a very different attitude than we usually have on the show. And it was really quite amazing. You kind of alluded to it, when you were talking about Monty, but he was the nicest person you would ever meet in this business. And he would do anything for anyone. And his biggest passion was his family and charity. And in the middle of an episode we're taping, and we just, you know, found out about Monty, and the audience doesn't know. So the audience for this episode didn't know. We did not share that information with them. But one of the contestants says, you know, if I win something, I just want you to know I'm donating it to charity. And I had a lump in my throat when that happened, because all I could think of was, well, there's Monty. He's with us right now. And so it was a really, it was a rough day for us at Deal. So we found out in the middle of show two. And then the third show of that day, we really scrambled to put together a fitting tribute for Monty, and that episode airs tomorrow.
Now, if we could ask about that, is that going to be sort of a hybrid of new games and old footage, or how is it going to work?
A little bit. We had discussed it, and you know, to be honest, Monty would want us to do the show. That was him. You know, he loved Let's Make a Deal. And he fully supported our version of it and what we do with it. And he knew we were having a great time, and he loved watching it. And he would want us to do the show. So, you know, we basically created an episode that kind of highlights some games that, you know, he used to play on his version. You know, luckily we had him on the show multiple times, throughout, you know, the 9 years we've been running. So we kind of intercut clips of him playing the games that we're about to play on the show. And then we also just, you know, show what he does best, which is just be Monty. I mean, there was nobody like him. Nobody like him. So that's kind of what viewers will see tomorrow is it's some clips mixed in with a regular episode of Deal. I hope everyone likes it, and I hope they watch it tomorrow because we're very proud of it.
We appreciate this. Chico, I'm going to ask this question, and if you have any questions, just chime in. How hands-on was Monty from 2009 to now?
Well, you know, when we first started, he was much more hands-on than he was, obviously, in the last couple of years. when we first started, you know, he's great. We've known him for a while now, but actually before we've been doing this version. But, you know, he would always give us notes. He would come in with notes, and he would tell us, and he would say, you know, hey, I want you guys to play with the zonks a little longer. You know, and so he would always come and give us his creative input and advice, which we loved and we would, you know, take to heart. But as the years went on, he was not as creatively involved as he was in the early days when we first launched it. But he would still come to the studio. He still came to the studio every year. I don't think he missed one season. This season 9, I think, is the only season that he did not attend in person. But I'm pretty sure every season he came to the studio. And when he came, it was, you know, it was like the king was coming. And, you know, I mean, just people would, the crew would just line up to talk to him. And the audience was thrilled when he was there. And I would still get asked by audience members, like, oh, is Monty here today? Is Monty coming? So, you know, he was just such a beloved gentleman by the fans and by the staff of Deal. Like, we just loved him.
It's amazing because Ben, who is Ben Tridle, one of the he posted a picture, a video from 1970 from CBC, and it was awesome. It was amazing, yeah. You know, it's just...
Yeah, and, you know, the best thing about Monty, you know, from the time that I've known him, he was always sharp. Mentally, he was always sharp. And it was just amazing to watch his mind work. And, you know, whenever... In the earlier days when we would pitch him new deals, you know, that we were going to put in the show, you know, he would kind of always be one step ahead of us, obviously, and say, like, are you going to offer that next? Are you going to do this next? Because that's what you should do. And, you know, so we are so proud of the show that we do, and we're so proud to be part of the legacy that he leaves behind. And, you know, we're gonna miss him every day.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Speaking of one of the co-executive producers, we have... somewhat frequent guest here, Ben Tridle. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're just talking about the life and legacy of Mr. Hall. And yes. We got Chris's sort of take on it.
Love to get yours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we were hearing stories about how the show's done in blocks, and at the tail end of the block is when the news came down and there was a noticeable turn in timbre of the proceedings. So I'd love to get your take on that.
Well, I'll tell you, I will defer to Mr. Ahern with regards to the tenor in the studio. I know from where I was at the time that I heard about it, I started passing the news upstairs, and you could just kind of feel the air leave the room, much like the news as the news came in. So it was very much just a moment of reflection more than anything else of the legacy that Monty leaves us. It was, you know, it was very much a moment to stop and think about where we were, how we would not be there without Monty. And quite frankly, the responsibility we owe him now to carry on the legacy that he left us. And for myself personally, all I can say is he is definitely someone to emulate going forward. And hopefully, if we can even reach a tenth of the success that he had, this world will be much better for it.
It's amazing. And Ben, I actually watched that documentary that you posted from CBC in 1970.
Yeah.
Which was one of the early heights of what, you know, Monty was, which was the ABC version, the ABC version of the show.
Right. Monty was still doing the show with ABC he had gone over to ABC, at that point. It's really, it's such an interesting time capsule of what the, just the furor was surrounding the show and how he responded to it. It's such an interesting look. And I think, as I said, when I posted it, you know, it's looking back half a lifetime ago in Monty years. And so just to know that at that point, when that piece had been done on him, he had another 47, 48 years to go after that. And
which is insane because what's amazing to me is very few people host shows are known for one show.
Right.
And Monty Hall, you know, he did others. He produced others with Stefan Hatos. You know, he did another great show, and I know you're a fan of this, Chico, which is...
It was Split Second. Basically asking three questions at once and to a group of contestants, and it wasn't necessarily if you knew it, but how fast you knew it.
Exactly. But again, we also talked about Monty's charity work. This is a guy who raised... Now, try this. He was involved with the Variety Charities of Los Angeles for like 40-odd years, something like that.
I actually have a list of all the awards he was given for his philanthropy. He was elected president of Variety Clubs International, given the lifetime title of International Chairman. He won the organization's International Humanitarian Award. He was inducted into the Order of Manitoba and the Order of Canada and the Children's Wings at Hanmon Hospital, UCLA Medical Center, Mount Sinai in Toronto, and Johns Hopkins are named for him, as well as streets in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Cathedral City, California. And you all may remember this, in 2005, he was given the Ralph Edwards Lifetime Achievement Award for Career Community Service by the Game Show Congress.
That's true, when I was there for that.
We were all there for that.
Yeah, but I'm just... first of all, I also noticed you guys, both of you, that you guys have put on cards this week for donating charity. You said that was Monty all the way, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and so there's an in memoriam card that's running at the end of every episode this week of Deal, and that's what he would want, and that was at the request of his family as well. And you know, every year we would get a Christmas card from Monty in the mail. And every year it was a donation has been made in your name. And, I mean, that's just the guy he was. And his whole family is that way. I mean, that's he's such a family man. Like him and Marilyn both, they were such lovely people, and they were so giving. And their children and grandchildren are the exact same way. I mean, it's a fantastic family.
Class acts run deep.
I gotta ask you guys, since you guys have been doing this particular show, what have been, in your opinion, been the best lessons, both from a humanitarian perspective and a television perspective, that you had learned from him?
Ooh, that's a long list.
We got a few minutes.
Chris, I have one answer to that. You probably have many more, but I'll give you one answer that because I actually thought about this today. And it goes back to when we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Let's Make a Deal. And Monty was there, and it wasn't just Carol Merrill that was also there, but there was staff from the show that Monty very proudly introduced to everybody in the audience in the studio and subsequently to those watching at home. And it was very evident to me just from that how much the teamwork aspect of all the pieces that go into a show need to be celebrated as well. It wasn't just one man who was leading the pack. It was one man with the support of so many others, and it was that team effort that he really celebrated in that moment. So that's what I take away more than anything else.
Yeah, and that again, what Ben just mentioned was at Monty's request. You know, he said, if you want Carol and I, you know, to be there for the 50th, we would love to be there, but I would also love to bring out the staff that worked on the show. And so he brought them out. I think maybe Ben, there was what, like maybe five or six of them.
It was for a moment in time where, you know, it was what, 30, 40 years after the original series has ended,
yeah.
You know, the fact that as many of them were still around with us and were willing to come out and celebrate with us, you know, it's a testament to Monty's leadership and to how much they believed in him, that they wanted to come out and celebrate with him.
It shows, at least to me, that there was a true sense of loyalty with him, that he was one of the, you know, again, he was one of those old school Hollywood guys that respected loyalty, respected what you did, and he's a giant. I mean, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but this is a guy who's been in the business for what, six decades?
Basically, six decades. Mm-hmm. And more or less doing one thing, whether it was this show or Split Second or heck, even Video Village, if you remember the clips.
Mm-hmm.
What I loved about his MC work, if we could just talk about this for a minute, he was so smooth at what he did. It seemed like he could never be he was unflappable. Like, in other words, like no matter how crazy the dealers got, he knew what to do and how to do, and would, you know, always say, oh, there's one more thing we hid behind this, or take a look at that. He was so brilliant at that.
He was a guy who always hit his marks. That's why I always, because I don't know if you know this, but somebody a few years ago, they posted, like, the entire script of a deal. And he always knew where to go and who did it was just amazing that he could just seamlessly flow from one mark to another.
They you're saying they posted a script from a deal from his version of the show?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And again, to Ben's point about it, it's that show is such a Herculean team effort. Like, according to Monty, when we would talk with him, those scripts, that was a Stephen Hades thing. And, you know, we always talk about Monty, you know, being the heart and soul of Deal, and he was. But he would never leave out Stephen when talking about the show. And he would always say, Steve and I, you know, when Steve and I did the show, when we created the show. And, you know, he wasn't one to take all of that. So I know he would want to give credit to him as well for that kind of planning. But that was a Hados thing for sure. But, you know, Monty had that, speaking to his hosting ability, Monty had that rare privilege of owning the show that he hosts.
Yeah, in a different era too, because you never, you know, in the 60s and 70s, you couldn't do that back then, or not many people did.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a feat in and of itself. But you know, we always would, when we were starting Deal, and you know, talking about hosts, it was always, whenever anyone would talk about Monty, it was always, we would always just call him suave. That was just the word. Like, he was a suave host.
He was, yeah.
And he could, there's he the could word, just, right. He could sell ice to Eskimos. Like, he, he had that twinkle in his eye and, you know, just that smile. And I mean, and that's the way he was in real life. Like, he, that's why it worked so well on television, is because he was a genuinely nice guy. I mean, I don't think you could find anyone to say something bad about Monty. Like, it's just impossible.
I haven't heard anything. I've heard no scandal. I've heard not a one. Not a one.
No, you. No drama. Yeah, you never would. You never would. Yeah. Because I mean, that was him in life.
Yeah, there is a reason that, I mean, many people to this day, you know, they think of, when they think of honorary mayor of Hollywood, they think of Johnny Grant. But I only read recently, and I didn't know this, before Johnny Grant, the honorary mayor of Hollywood was Monty Hall.
I couldn't believe that when I read that myself.
Yeah, you know, and that was for a solid, 10 years, I think they said, from what I read. You know, he was well loved in all circles at all levels, and I go back to just to know how well he could own a room, and not even without trying to own it. His presence owned the room more than he did.
Oh yeah,
goes back.
You just walk in.
Yeah, I mean when we started in Vegas back in 2009, and Monty came and did the week's worth of Deals. We were, you know, brand spanking new as far as this production was concerned. And yet you bring up the fact that Monty was there and that Monty was going to lead, was going to be the dealer, and the room went crazy. Just the amount of love at all ages, from all over the world. In some cases, I mean, we had, people from Jamaica who were in the audience who knew the name Monty Hall and were excited to have that opportunity, let alone, you know, couples celebrating their 45th wedding anniversary to guys in hockey costumes, you know, NHL fans who were just as equally excited. So he was definitely, he reached out across all levels, and it was just kind of amazing to watch.
What was,
yeah, and just to emphasize what Ben just said, sorry.
Go ahead.
This boggled my mind, because the same day we taped Monty's episode, we also taped our Halloween special. That was our first show that morning.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's actually in the show, but one of the Halloween episode was a family episode, so it was kids and parents, and we do every so often on the show. And one of the kids dressed as Monty Hall.
Oh man,
that is that sounds classic. Sounds like it has classic.
So you know, it was he spanned these generations of TV viewers. And by the way, like he. You know, he's in, like, every math class in the world.
The Monty Hall problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do you know there was a Mythbusters episode based on that?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, my point of that is people that don't even know game shows or like game shows or watch game shows, they still know who he is. You know, there's still a whole other demographic out there that might not even know Let's Make a Deal, but knows who Monty Hall is. I mean, that's something. It's incredible.
What I have to ask is that in many interviews, many articles I've read recently, that Monty Hall was one, the brilliant thing that he said is that the dealers are the star, not me. The contestants are the star, not me. How did that translate from Monty to Wayne? Because Wayne, you know, does an incredible job and knows exactly what he's looking for. And I'm wondering where that relationship was between Monty and Wayne.
Oh, you know, God, Monty loved Wayne, loved him. He, you know, you never saw Monty ever really get angry or upset. The only time I would ever see him get angry or upset was when Wayne did not win an Emmy Award. He did not understand why Wayne has never won the Emmy for hosting this show. That's how much he loves Wayne. Like he just, you know, he thought he was a great fit for the show and he is. And you know, they're two very different styles of hosts, of course. But, you know, he just loved them. I mean, and the feeling was mutual. I mean, again, when Monty would come to stage, you know, Wayne would be the first one to go into that dressing room and say hello and sit down and talk with them. Yeah, there was a mutual admiration society there. They loved each other.
Wow.
Now, it definitely showed, you know.
I mean, when you watch the episode tomorrow, I think there might be a clip there. Sorry, I've watched so many clips lately, I'm forgetting where I've seen them. But if you watch Wayne and Monty interact, I mean, it's just you can just tell. I mean, you can tell how much they like each other. And by the way, he was that way with everyone. On the cast, I mean, Tiffany and Jonathan and Kat, I mean, they all just worship the guy and he loves them all back. And, you know, I thought about this today, because I was thinking about all the, you know, terrific things that Monty has done and kind of the innovations that he has done, in the game world. And you guys will probably know this better than myself. I have good game show knowledge, but sometimes I don't go as deep as other people. But I really feel like Monty, too, was one of the first guys, or hosts, I should say, that let the announcer have a role on the show.
Actually, the announcer, aside from the obvious bringing boxes onto the stage, was always within vision. Jay Stewart, Dean Goss. I think you didn't get out of vision announcer until 1990, if I'm not mistaken.
But I mean, can you guys think of any other shows that where the announcer played such a prominent role? At least
not
in modern.
Not really that I can think of, because what's very interesting, at least to me, is most shiny floor game shows, if I could use the term, around the beginning of that era, it was host, off voice announcer, and sometimes female assistant or whatever. And what happened was is that Let's Make a Deal also was one of the first ensembles, because you had Ivan Dittmars and his orchestra, which you heard, a live orchestra, plus Jay Stewart, and then, of course, as you said, Dean Goss, and of course, now Jonathan Mangum, and then now and then you had Carole Merrill and Jay Stewart. And you're right, it was the first ensemble, because now you guys are a legit ensemble now. It's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, I credit him for that, because I couldn't think of another show or another host that had really done that to that extent. I mean, I think in the 50s and 60s, maybe more in the 50s, you definitely saw the announcer do a commercial on the show, or, you know, announce from the side of the stage. But Monty really made it a prominent part of what Let's Make a Deal was, and that the announcer not only participated in the deal, he also was in the zonks. You know, Jay loved being in the zonks. That was one of Jay's favorite things. Monty would tell us that all the time.
Big like, baby
Jay
in the big chair.
Absolutely loved it. Loved doing that. But you know, that's a pretty big innovation, because at that time the host was the star. Like, that was it. You were watching that guy. And, you know, again, just going to show you what a giving person Monty was, he shared that stage with Jay, and he shared it with Carole.
So it's like reflecting on a family member, this, almost, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I know that, you know, you guys are still taping, right? For how long more do you have for taping for this season?
We have 2 weeks left before we wrap.
Yeah, I know. I mean, is how tough is this going to be the next 2 weeks? And, you know, where do you guys go from here? I mean, I know it's hard, but have you guys thought about it?
It'll be a tough couple of weeks around the studio. What Wayne says at the top of the show tomorrow is so incredibly true. Monty would not want us to wallow in it. He would want us to celebrate and move and have a good time doing Let's Make a Deal. That is, you know, his legacy. And I think if, as long as we can hold that legacy up and continue it, then I think we're doing a good job. It will be hard without him in our corner. We will try our best, and hopefully we will make him proud.
Okay. Coming up against it. So, final thoughts from either of you first?
It was a rough week. All I can say is this about Monty. On behalf of all of us at Deal, like, we are so proud and privileged to have worked with him, to have called him a colleague and a mentor and a friend. And that's what we will miss most, I think, is probably his friendship and his support.
Ben?
I don't think I could say it any better. In the back of my mind, I'll always think we're still working for him. The word legacy has gone well used, and it's deservedly so. And so even though Monty's no longer with us, we're still working to keep that legacy going in all the ways that we can, just like his family will do the same for him with regards to what he did philanthropically. So everything that Chris said, I second. I think he was quite accurate. So
And of course, the tribute show will air tomorrow as we record this, which would be October 6th on CBS. Check your local listings, and it'll probably also be on the CBS app and CBS All Access for eternity, hopefully. That's pretty much it. Yes, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And again, okay. Again, we first of all, thank you to co-executive producers Ben Tridle and Chris Ahern for stopping by and giving us your thoughts. We really do appreciate this very, very much on this, you know, incredibly trying time for you guys.
Well, thank you for having us on the show, and thank you for your support of Deal and of Monty. We appreciate it very much.
Hey, anytime. And again, our thoughts and condolences to you and the entire Let's Make a Deal family there.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.